Welcome to Some Assembly Required. I'm your host, Jason Porchetta. Yeah, that sounds very official, hey?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
And today I'm speaking to Sonia Esguela. How do you say that?
That's kind of good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the South African version, but the Portuguese version of is Esguela.
Esguela.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty sick there.
I saw your show last night, Love and Prozac,
yeah,
for the first time. And I feel like such a dose because it's been around the block a few times. I know it was on at Festival, National Arts Festival in Grahamstown, and I've heard such amazing things about it. And I popped in, saw it last night, and I was blown away. It
Were
was
you?
Fucking awesome. You're fantastic. Seriously. Jesus.
I can never get enough of hearing stuff like that.
That's so good. Your physical characterization is phenomenal.
I'm
along
phenomenal.
With your vocal stuff. Where did you study? How did you learn this?
I studied at UCT.
Yeah.
And I guess that my lecturers, like, I worked with people like Chris Weir and Jeffrey Highland and stuff like that. But, and I guess, like, Chris Weir pegged really quickly that I was good at comedy, right?
Yeah.
But when I was in varsity, I didn't really click in. Like, I didn't realize that that was my niche, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to be a very serious actor, you
oh,
know?
Yeah. Okay.
And then I think that the style, this physical stuff started with when I started my poorer shows.
Yeah.
You know, playing the different characters and very strong physical and vocal stuff. That started with that. And it was fun, but it was hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, Pora did very, very well. And what inspired you? Because, I mean, the Portuguese theme runs through the work and it pops up all over the place.
What inspired me for what? For Pora or for Love and Prozac?
For Pora and Love and Prozac, in terms of dealing with, like, the Portuguese stereotype in the South African context.
I think that's a need to create work inspired me. Like, as an actor, you can't live off going to castings and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I write from my own experience.
Yeah.
So I draw from my own stuff. And basically, when I wrote Pora, was just that there was a voice telling me to write the show about being Pora because it hadn't been done and stuff like that, you know? And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't ask from a fucking screenplay, you know, or script writing. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So my directors helped me a lot in terms of editing and finding stuff on the floor and stuff like that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, Love and Prozac is on at Alexander Upstairs in town on Strand Street. And it's running until this Saturday.
Saturday, the 25th of July.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure. Then I think I might start hitting Joburg again.
Okay.
I did Joburg like a long time ago. You know, because I've settled in Cape Town, it's just like it feels so much hard work to go back to Joburg. And the marketing's like a whole other level there.
What? You know, tell me about this because you know, you're in drama school, and you get there's a very clear divide between the people who are like, I want to make deep art, I want to make theater, and I want to make like weird abstract movies. And then you got the other half of the class that's like, oh my God, I just want to do soapies. I want to go to Joburg and make it big. And they all go up, and then maybe one, you know, out of your entire class actually gets into a soapie.
Yeah, pretty much.
And everyone comes back going, whoa, the Joburg scene is so intense. Why is it so intense?
First of all, it's very fast-paced,
right,
Joburg in general. So that's kind of amazing. So it's like this electric hot box of creativity. So as an artist, when you go there, it kind of blows your fucking brains open, right?
Okay.
And you just want to, like, create, and there's a lot of networking going on, and people want to make shit all the time, you know? So that's amazing. But right now, Joburg is strictly almost for musicals, and soapies and presenting work.
Really?
Right? So things have changed there quite a bit in that way. And, you know, in terms of if you want to get screen time in terms of movies and, you know, more interesting work, you got to be in Cape Town for that.
Okay.
But, yeah, it is very select. It's very demographic now, you know, in terms of who gets to be a presenter and who wants to be a soapy and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a hand-picked few.
Yeah.
And that's a very different style in itself, being a soapy actor to being a TV series actor or something, you know. I was never chosen to be a soapy because I just, you know, I'm not blonde with big tits or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, neither am I, so. I'm blonde on the inside.
So, you're kind of blonde. You're bronze.
Thanks. I think. I don't know. Was that an insult? Did you just insult me on my own show? So what else are you into? Because, okay, you write.
I'm into S&M.
Yeah. And you perform. Are you involved in any other areas, any other forms of performance?
I really, really, really want to go into, and that's slowly what I'm migrating into now, is more film work, you know. Okay. Theatre's great and I love it and I always want to do it, you know. But I feel like I've kind of created this brand of comedy and I've been doing it for like 12, 13 years now and like I'm a bit bored, you know. So I want to do movie stuff now and create interesting TV, maybe, you know, not with SABC, but... Ooh. You know,
sorry, you used interesting and SABC in the same
Sentence. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what they require for pictures is just makes my eyes bleed, you know.
What do they require for pictures?
You know, it's like, it's always kind of socio-political stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it changes every year. So you get briefs every year. So you can just go in at a certain time, I can't remember when it is, and look on their websites. But basically, it's things like... community building stuff, you know, sometimes a political, politically moving program, you know, about about racism or xenophobia or stuff like that. They always want presenting stuff. They want game shows, stuff like that, you know. The problem with it is, it could be very interesting. The problem is that they select stuff that is very safe. You know, so you could take those pictures and make it like super fun and interesting, but they tend to go for the very vanilla options, you know, which is a bit boring. But that said, that there's really great production companies out there that you could pitch for in terms of going to a broader audience, like overseas or DSTV or, you know, where you have more control over it, so you actually own the rights and you can sell it off and make a lot of money potentially.
Ooh, money.
Yeah.
And so you said you're interested in film and going into film. Are you looking more at like the comedy side of things, or you want to do deep serious stuff? Or?
You know, I think that my stuff is like a mix of that, you know. I tend to write comedy with a bit of a heart or a bit of a darkness to it. Like Love and Prozac isn't like a cherry blossom rom-com, you know what I mean? It's quite dark. So, I'm like itching to write something dark and terrible.
Okay. Okay, now this interests me. Well, okay, what's the darkest thing you've ever done in your mind? Like, what's the, you know, the most hectic?
I don't know if we can talk about
it. But tell me.
You mean for work, like stage stuff?
Yeah. No, not in your social life. No, I don't know about that. That you can tell me afterwards. Like stage stuff, you know?
I think that's... probably the darkest thing I've ever done on stage was working on a Greek tragedy with Sean Mathias.
Yeah.
And just because it's like this, a Greek tragedy is very heightened and it was very dark. It was Antigone. So everyone in my family died and I was the sole survivor kind of thing. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, and you just carry it around with you all the time. It's like when you slip into a character or the work that you're working on,
it lingers.
It kind of lingers. Yeah. And, you know, I think that the way I approach roles now changes. So I don't think I'm as affected as I used to be.
Okay.
I've found a way to separate myself. But before it was really hard for me, you know. Yeah.
And would you consider yourself a method actress? Do you? What are the tricks you use? Because, I mean, watching Love and Prozac last night, your physical characterization was just impeccable. You were, like, embodying every character, and some of those changes are so quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, come the time of curtain call, you walk onto stage and you expect to see more people as an audience member.
Thank you.
How do you do it?
I don't know. I think I'm schizophrenic.
Don't worry, doll. All the best actors are.
I think I should be in the home. It's a skill that you develop. I mean, these changes are actually not quick at all compared to Pora. Pora, I literally went from a character mid-conversation to the other character responding.
Okay.
So like that was like lightning changes where I literally would finish 8-week runs at Monte Cassino and come out like a toothpick. I was so thin and it was like a 2-hour-long show. It was hectic, you know. But I don't know. I mean, how do I approach it? I approach it from, I guess I'm very physical. So I immediately put in a voice and a and a body to my character, first and foremost, you know. And then the text eventually starts gaining layers as I keep rehearsing and stuff, you know. I'm really bad with learning lines. Like, it takes me forever.
Yeah.
You know, so I approach the physical stuff first because it helps me kind of block things, and the emotional stuff comes through the physical stuff. You know? Right.
And when you write, I'm always interested when you have a performer who writes, because you know, sometimes the actor who's also in a writer will jump up and will start performing and kind of plays around with the role and goes, oh, that's good. And, you know, I've witnessed a couple of people who do this. And then I said to them, you know, well, how do you write? Because I'm very interested in creative process and how people come up with shit. And one friend who says, no, I kind of just sit by myself in my room and I hit record on my laptop. And then I just jump around the room and I play and I act and I go, okay, that sounds good. And then I just write it down. No, I'm interested. How do you do it?
Because that's so odd.
And it is kind of weird.
Who was that person? It's you, isn't it?
It's me. It's so me. Jesus. Busted. And you? How do you
I
do
guess
it?
That I literally bleed out of my eyeballs. It's so
really?
I kind of hate. It's weird because I have this absolute need to write. Right? I feel like there's these stories and these emotions that start popping up, and I'm like, oh God, I need to write this. And then the act of sitting down is so hard for me. You know. Yeah. So I literally, you know, wake up in the morning and I'll do everything not to write. You know, I'll polish my shoes and I'll go make a coffee and then I'll go shop and sew buttons on my new top or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But the reason I write is because it's usually like some kind of cathartic process for me, to be honest. Like it's some story about myself that I'm needing to get out there. It's kind of a form of therapy, you know. Okay. And I've kind of written up to date. So now I'm like, I don't know what to write about anymore. I mean, there's one very dark thing that I want to write about, but I think that might be in a movie, a screenplay format, you know.
And tell me about the title, Love and Prozac. So...
you really want to know how that came about.
No, I want to know. So have you ever been on meds?
So bad. Hey?
Have you ever been on meds?
Oh, yeah, no. I wasn't on Prozac. I was on something called lithium. No, I'm joking.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm joking. It was something called Lexamol. It was like I went to the doctor and I was opening, I think it was this show, the very first version, and my jaw had locked completely. Yeah. Like I couldn't even eat and I thought I was getting the flu, you know, because my body was sore and my throat. And I went to my Jewish doctor in Joburg. I lived in Joburg at the time. And I was like, you know, I think I got the flu. I need some meds and I'm opening a show and I can't get sick. And he's like, you need Valium. So every time I go see him, I come out of this like happy packet, you know?
Your lucky packet.
So long story short, he was like, you have a lot of anxiety. And, yes. I do, like I'm always in my head and I'm like, I build things up, you know? So he basically put me on what he called a baby formula for antidepressants, which was an anti-anxiety, you know? And I blew up. I got so fit.
Yeah, they do that.
I didn't know. I was like, I kind of loved it because I'm naturally skinny. And I was like, oh, I've got big boobs now and big hips.
I'm putting on muscle.
And I love it.
And did it affect your work and your creativity at all?
I was just really happy all the time.
Okay.
You know, because I can be quite grouchy because I'm Mediterranean, you know.
Yeah.
So we're quite temperamental and moody.
Yes.
And I would kind of like just be like jovial all the time.
Because
I'm a pretty jovial person.
Yeah.
But when I start getting like worked up in my head, then, you know, I work around a little cloud in my head.
Yeah.
And that cloud just went away, you know. The things didn't really affect me the way they normally did.
And the title? You said
That was a long deviation.
That's fine.
So the
try
title,
to sidetrack me.
The title used to be called So You Think You Can Love when I first wrote this, right? And then we changed the script a lot based on testing audiences and stuff, right? So
how did you test audiences?
I mean, like, no, like I opened it
like
in Monte Casino.
No, really? How did you do that?
I mean, what basically an audience reaction, like what parts of the show really killed it and what where I was losing them. So, and then we tweaked. Where I lost them, we would work on that.
Okay.
So we just kept tweaking the script slightly, right? And then it became this, and it changed quite substantially. So I changed the title.
Okay.
I didn't think So You Think You Can Love was great because it was too long to fit on a poster, really. And people didn't really know what to make of the title.
And with Cape City Council giving you those rules about how big your letters on your poster have to
be. Exactly. It was like,
pretty much limited
so you.
To like three words.
So then I went to go see, I went through this big psychic stage and shit like that. Right?
Yeah, which is
I'm
one of
the themes
I'm a
very spiritual person. Yeah,
in
as
Love
you see in Love and Prozac.
Love that, where she's meditating.
That's, I mean, that shit's real.
That's fantastic.
And then, so I went to go see this chick and she does like numerology and stuff. And she's like, oh no, So You Think You Can Love is very bad for money. Very bad, very bad vibration. And I was like, no, this can't happen, no. And so then she makes me write lists and lists of titles that have good money vibrations. And I don't know what has a good money vibration.
Yes.
And she just kept saying, no. And then eventually she was helping me a bit. And then eventually she suggested Love and Prozac. And for me, it clicked and I loved it. And it didn't, and it wasn't the big money spinner she said it would be. So I'm not sure that I buy into her anymore. So that's how it came about.
Cool.
Know?
And
psychic.
So tell me, in terms of theater, what inspires you? Like, what turns your brain on when you go and see a show? What are you into?
I mean, you know, I was just going to say that I hate, like, conventional, boring. Like, you get a lot of plays now about, you know, the... I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but kind of, you know, about apartheid in South Africa and stuff like that, you know. And for me, it can still be a very interesting topic, but if you're going to do it, then do it in a really interesting way, you know. But then that said, I went to go see things like, for example, Fishers of Hope at the Baxter. Actually, I saw it in Grandstand 2 years ago. And it was... they completely changed it and made it into... I guess it was the blending of genres, right? Of going, or formulas, or I don't know, format, or, but you know, they used a lot of physical stuff with beautiful sets, and then also conventional storytelling, where you know, so it was a whole blend, and that kept you really engaged, you know. And I guess that for me, theater needs to be... I get incredibly bored in theater, right? So I tend to not go that often, which is bad because you need to see what's out there and keep, like, being inspired. Yeah. But, you know, if you're just going to sit there and be talking heads, I can't, I literally can't.
Yeah,
know?
Why must I waste an hour and a half of my life
boring.
Watching that?
The magic about theater is you're in a black box, right? And you're using your body and your voice to transform and create entire worlds. And you can't do that shot in film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're basically creating special effects with your voice and your body. And that can be incredible. Like when I went to go see Sylvain Strike's The Tobacco and the Harmful Effects Thereof, like for me that encapsulated everything because he, you know, I mean it was completely magic.
Yeah.
It was absolutely magic,
Strike's
and I just
work
had.
Is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I saw it was years ago, Coupe.
Yes.
At National Arts Festival,
yes.
And I wept.
Exactly.
It was amazing, and it inspired me because for the first time I'd seen put on stage so much of the stuff that I was learning about at UCT through, you know, Mark Fleischman and Jenny Resnick and Jeff Hyland, all the visual stuff, meeting the physical stuff, meeting the vocal stuff, and it was just fantastic. So
it is fantastic.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And to sit in a theater and watch that and then have a story behind it that really speaks to your heart, right? It's cathartic and you end up with tears running down your face. And you don't really get that in a movie. You know what I mean? It's a totally different experience, you know? And that's what I love about it. And I mean, fuck, I got to tell you, like as an actor doing it, it's hard, you know, and you get like, you age and you get fucking wrinkles. And, you know what I mean? Like, you age like so much faster than your friends who aren't actors, you know what I mean?
Because
you're like distorting
your
goddamn body. You don't want to know.
No, I want to know.
I'm 180.
Oh, shit. You're not going to tell me, eh?
I'm 37.
Cool.
Yeah, it's hard, but it's kind of, I mean, it's like worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you don't always get the financial exchange. You know, you put in a lot of work. But sometimes you do. And then other times you get these audience members coming up to you and going, like, that was amazing. And you, like, you can see that you've, like, changed something in them. Like, there's been a little bit of a rearrangement for them inside themselves.
Yeah.
And that is phenomenal. Because it works both ways. It happened for you as a performer and it happened for your audience, you know.
Yeah. Well, there was certainly that kind of an experience for me watching
I'm
Love
so
and Prozac, but not necessarily of the deep, like, you know, weeping into my alcoholic beverage in the back row kind of way. More just in, like, the healing power of laughter and watching someone really enjoy themselves on stage and do it very, very skillfully. So Love and Prozac until Saturday here at the Alexander upstairs. Sonia, in closing, I'm going to ask you one thing. If you could tell yourself, like, 12 years ago, one thing that you wish you knew then that you know now, what would it be?
Oh, God, that's so weird because I look at photos of myself, like, 12 years ago, and I was so unconfident. And when I look back now at what I created and what I did, I'm like, I could have done so much more if I just believed in myself.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe in myself. I was so insecure and I had very low self-esteem, like a sense of self-worth. And I guess it would be to somehow magically inject that into myself, you know, because other people saw it and I didn't.
Yeah. Sonia, thanks so much. Sweetheart, thank you so much. And
pleasure,
I wish you all the best for the rest of the run.
Thank you.